talk about an interesting topic today, and that's a topic that every one of you that's listening to my program today has some interest in, either in yourself personally or in your family, your friends, and that topic is anxiety. Mm-hmm. And we have a guest on our show today. Her name is Jean Walters, and Jean has written a book called The Journey from Anxiety to Peace, Practical Steps to Handle Fear, Embrace Struggle, and Eliminate Worry to Become Happy and Free. Jean has been studying metaphysical perhaps most of her life, and for the last 40 years has been a spiritual coach. And so it's nice to have on our program today Jean Walters. Hi, Jean. How are you doing?
Hi. How are you, Wynn? I'm having a great day. I hope you are, too.
Yeah, I am. Okay, so I guess one of the things that leads most of us that's listening to this program today into fits of anxiety is the coronavirus problem.
Yes.
And there's hardly anybody that doesn't worry or become anxious about it. So I'm hoping that you will give us some information from your point of view as to what we can do about that. And first, define anxiety for my listeners, please.
Okay. I think most people recognize anxiety by a feeling within themselves of nervousness, where whatever comes up, they tend to go toward the dark side of it. So, for instance, if it's raining, they might think of it's going to be dangerous outside, you know, where somebody else might, who's in a better state of mind, might be thinking, oh, great, the plants are going to be watered, and this is a good thing. So we have this, sometimes it's an addiction, basically, toward anxiety, to tend to be anxious or worried about everything and anything. And I know that your podcast and your work has been about addiction, but most people are addicted in some way or other to worry and stress. And so that's why I wrote the book, is to help people recognize they have a choice.
Okay. So of the 21 symptoms of addiction, of the 30 different kinds of addiction, the number one or number two symptom is anxiety. Interesting, mm-hmm. huh?
Yes, yes.
So.
It fits very well, doesn't it?
Yeah. So practically everybody on some level has anxiety. Mm-hmm. And how do you relate anxiety to worry? Are they the same? Is there a difference?
Worry and anxiety are pretty much the same thing.
Okay.
And a lot of it goes back to trying to control everything. You know, there's certain things we can control and most things that we can't. One of the things we can control is ourself and what we do with our mind. But it is a discipline that most people don't understand, that just because something is going on in the world does not mean that we have to become addicted to it, or we have to let it become a point of worry for us. Because while that thing is going on, the pandemic, for instance, there's other things that are going on that can produce much joy and happiness in our life. And we have to find a way to discipline our thinking to where we can live more in a state of gratitude and a state of appreciation than in a state of constantly fretting about what might happen tomorrow or today or with someone we love, etc.
So it seems to me that you're talking about having a choice, and
yes,
that choice might be seeing anything as a cup half full or a cup half empty.
Right.
And when you're talking about addictive behaviors, the one that goes closest to that is negative thinking.
Yes.
And if you are a negative thinker, more of the time you're going to think about the bad things, the dark side, like
right,
you talked about. And if you're not addicted to negative thinking, then perhaps you can see everything as a blessing or something with a potential for good.
Well, I have talked to so many people over the years, and people will tell me, like, having that illness is what helped me turn my life around. I didn't realize it, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Or when I got divorced, I realized that that was the beginning of a new life for me, and I decided not to see it as a failure, but as a graduation. So, I mean, there's ways that we can begin to explore our thinking and realize that we can make turns in the road. We can teach ourselves to think in different ways so that we're not addicted to this idea that everything is terrible and life is ready to crash around you any moment. Much of that has been taught us as we've grown up in life. I mean, my mom was the greatest warrior in the world, and she was also my great motivator to try to understand another way to be. So even in her fretting and worrying, I learned that I could find a different way to do it.
So what do you think is the purpose of anxiety in the world?
Yes. I think there are times when anxiety shows up and it's almost like a sign to change path, to do something different. For instance, let's say you're worried about your job and you're feeling something going on within your workplace that doesn't feel right to you. That might be a sign for you to start investigating what's going on. What are your options? What are the things that would work best for you as far as moving on in a way that serves you? Sometimes anxiety is almost like a little sign in the road that says pay attention. Or maybe it would be like a feeling of something wrong in your body and you decide to investigate it. Or you might find out that, you know, you're not getting the right nutrition, and so therefore you change the way you approach nutrition. And then anxiety has served you. What we don't want to do is spend our life being anxious.
No, certainly that's counterproductive.
Yes.
And tell me some specific ways that a person can listen to their inner thoughts and rhythms.
Okay. Well, I mean, certainly much of what I'm talking about is learning to cultivate a certain mindset. And the fastest way to shift yourself out of worry and frenzy and anxiety is through gratitude. Because especially in the United States, I mean, and I've been all over the world, actually, we always have so much to be grateful for. And when we move into gratitude, our energy begins to shift into a higher vibration. We're actually feeling happier. So that would be one way. Learning to meditate is another, where we learn how to go into the stillness that we have within. Everyone has a place of peace and stillness inside. If we keep our attention always focused on the world and the material world, especially the news, I mean, we're always going to be in some sort of state of drama. But if we learn how to quiet and go in to our heart, for instance, go into the place of stillness, we can cultivate a sense of peace that overrides everything.
If you're anxious, I've got a suggestion.
Sure.
Turn off your television.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Because their job is to make you anxious,
yes.
To put
yes.
fear in you,
yes.
To bring stuff to your understanding that you would have never known about mm-hmm. if you hadn't been on the Good Morning America or one of those shows.
Yes, exactly.
And it makes people very anxious.
Absolutely. And just because someplace someone shot somebody does not mean that it's going to come to your door. But so if people start kvetching over that and worrying and fretting over things that are never, ever going to happen, all they do is keep themselves so frenzied that they can never feel peace. And then they end up doing things like alcohol and drugs to try to quiet themselves down, when the whole time all they had to do was learn how to discipline the mind so that they could go into a quiet space and begin to cultivate something much deeper. It will give them a connection to our source of divinity, to our source of spirituality. And then it will help us kind of move back into our natural rhythm, because our natural rhythm is not frenzied. Our natural rhythm is smooth. And I always think about if you were in nature, you would notice there's a certain rhythm with nature, and that would be a way to reconnect to, are you there, to the natural rhythm of what we have for ourselves.
So someone told me once, and I think it's true, that 90% or better of the things that you worry about never come true.
Right.
And of the rest of them, you couldn't do anything about it anyway.
Right.
So
right.
Why worry?
Yes. It's like the prayer of Francis of Assisi, you know, to help me to know what's real and what's not, and what I have control over and what I don't, and how to let it all go. I mean, that's a good way to approach life. You know.
Right. Now, in your media kit, you said that you can talk about three steps to the antithesis of anxiety. Would you explain that to me?
Okay. I'm trying to boil it down to three steps. To the antithesis of, well, first of all, I would say connect with your natural rhythm. And again, one of the easiest ways to do that is just to move out into nature, take a walk, you know, get outside, and begin to feel the energy of life as it moves through the trees and plants. Once we connect with that, we can feel it. We can slow ourselves down, and we can get more grounded in what is truth, what makes sense, what is our natural rhythm. And the second thing would be to reframe your mind to where you're always looking for the positive. You're looking for love in each. There's love present in every moment. We can train ourselves to begin to see that. There's a smile on someone's face. There is someone that wants to reach out and be helpful. There's someone that's trying to support you. So we can't see that when we're in anxiety. We can't see it. But when we begin to look for it, when we recognize those simple things that are always there, you know, someone who, you know, moves out of the way so you can go forward, someone who holds the door open, those are such simple things, but they're present all the time. So by reframing your mind to where you begin to see those things and are grateful for them. Thirdly, I would say, you know, meditation, learning how to discipline your mind to where you can be quiet for starting with 5 minutes. I mean, once we become addicted to watching the news and looking for the most terrible thing that's happening, we lose a sense of peace, and it affects our health. You know, people that are worried all the time have terrible health issues. So what we want to do is cultivate, and I want to use that word carefully, cultivate a sense of peacefulness. And by going into meditation, we begin to connect with that deeper essence of who we are, and that will help us. So we want to learn how to make choices. Just because something's happening in the world does not mean we have to center on it and make that our focus point for the day. You know, what we want to do is decide what we want to focus on and keep our attention there. There's a sort of an art to it, but it's a discipline as well. But it pays for itself a million times over by learning how to take control in that way.
So two things that everybody says is good for you, but nobody likes to do. It's meditation and exercise. How do you get into the mindset of saying, these two things are good for me, so even though at the beginning I might not like them or find them boring or whatever you're going to say about them, I'm going to do it anyway?
Great question. First of all, exercise is a great way to dump energy. In other words, if you had a long day and maybe some stressful things going on, get outside and release the energy from your body. And the best way to do that is to exercise. Even if it's for 10 minutes, it's going to help. So if you look at exercise as a way to release stress, that will be your motivation. But the truth is, people have to decide if they want to release stress. I mean, some people are very addicted to it. So we have to make a determined decision that that's truly what we want. We want the result of meditation. We want the result of exercise. And so for meditation, it's a matter of choice. Do you want peace and stillness? Do you want connection to your source? Or do you want connection to your TV and the drama of the world? It's really a choice. What's most important to you? Because once you decide, I really do want that deeper sense of connection, you know, that I can have with my spiritual source, when that becomes your truth, when you really want that, then meditating is not difficult. But we start with 5 minutes, because what we're actually doing is shifting our mind from one kind of thinking to another. And so that's a gradual thing. We don't try to meditate for a half an hour. We start with 5 minutes. And as you get acclimated to the stillness for 5 minutes, then you want 10 minutes. But this will happen over a period of time, because you're retraining yourself. And that's the important thing to understand with meditation. If you feel like I have to meditate and I don't want to meditate, then don't meditate. Instead, go out into nature and move through nature and feel the energy and the rhythm of nature. That's the best way to start quieting your mind.
So I also saw in your media information,
uh-huh,
that you have 6 steps on the journey from anxiety to peace. Could you go over those 6 steps?
Well, I think some of these are, to take responsibility for your life. Whatever is going on, recognize that you play a part in that. And then when you do that, that's where you can make an adjustment. For instance, you know, with my mom and her anxiety, she was playing a part in that. When I really looked at her life, I realized that she never thought she was good enough. So she was looking at life from a point of view of never being good enough. That was something that she could cultivate a different way of seeing, you know, because she really was a good mom, and she was a good daughter, and she took care of a lot of people, and she was a good person. So each person has the opportunity to look at life and take responsibility for where they are, and look, and then begin to change their point of view about it. I was talking to a gal yesterday who was very very hooked up with her body image. And I asked her, what are the qualities she possessed? And when she started looking at the qualities she possessed, she's a really beautiful person, kind and giving and generous. And I asked her if, when she thought about herself that way, did that help her? And, of course, who she is are all those qualities. And her body just reflects some of that. Her body is transient, but the qualities that she has within herself are forever. So when we take responsibility and begin to look at life from another point of view, we become more expansive in our thinking. So being an expansive thinker is another way to begin to change anxiety. What are all the possibilities available in this situation that I'm in right now? What is another way of me becoming while I am in this situation? And that could be even with harassment, where people are being harassed and they step back a little bit and start asking themselves some questions about that. You know, what are my options right now, and how can I look at this differently? How can I see an opportunity here? And that doesn't mean an opportunity to be harassed, but that means an opportunity to take some kind of action. Learning, some people are harassed because they don't know how to stand up for themselves. Maybe the opportunity is to do that. Then there's another thing of just whatever is in front of you that needs to that you need action on, take it. I mean, many people won't act because they're afraid of they won't do it right or they're going to fail or whatever. But the point is that action is better than non-action. Getting serious about where we want to go, what we want to accomplish, and then start with baby steps. I think people oftentimes feel like they have to, like, discover the cure for cancer or something, and then that makes them, you know, viable. But the point of it is anything that we do to move ourselves forward is a wonderful thing. So we want to take baby steps and just keep moving. Is there a class you need to take? Is there a book you need to read? Is there a contact you need to make? Begin by taking action. Move forward in any way. Become an expansive thinker. What are the possibilities here? If you need to do something, just do it, you know. Don't think about cleaning your house. Get started. Start with a bathroom. Start there. Start with the dishes and the things. Do something to change the environment you're in. And also, when you get nervous or anxious, if you're inside, go outside. If you're outside, go inside. Begin to change something. If you're sitting down, get up and walk. Change something in that moment, because just moving the energy will help you. So be aware of that, because whatever we're doing, we can begin to, if we're on the internet, get off the internet. So we begin to change by just moving and adjusting. And then another thing is to really allow yourself some time to relax, to just take time to just, you know, observe and relax. I mean, whether it's reading a book or doing something that's very calming for you. I think a lot of anxious people are just doing, running without attention, without conscious attention, without being mindful. And it's almost like they're running away from themselves all the time. So to learn how to relax, to learn how to just be quiet and do something that's calming is going to be how it's knitting, you know, something on that order where you're really having to be present with yourself. Those are a few ways. Does that help?
Yeah, it does. And so you are a coach. So how does a person get coached by you?
Okay. Well, the quickest, easiest way is just to go to my website and or send me an email at jean@spiritualtransformation.com. And I did want to offer to people that if they contact me, I will send them a free copy of the book. I will send them an email copy of the book. So that'll get them started. So just feel free to contact me at jean@spiritualtransformation.com. And I would be happy to send you a copy of the book.
Well, that's great. So the book is called The Journey from Anxiety to Peace, Practical Steps to Handle Fear, Embrace Struggle, and Eliminate Worry to Become Happy and Free. Is that available on Amazon?
Yes, it is available on Amazon, and I'm really happy that it's been an international bestseller, and I really love the idea of being able to connect with people and help them in some way. I think if they get the book, they'll find something in there that will be useful to them. Something will connect.
Well, that's great that you're doing such important work and that people can actually listen to all the great ideas that you have if they want you to coach them.
Yes. Remember, there's always a way out. There's always a way. I mean, that's the thing we have to understand. There's always a way to rearrange things, shift ourselves, come to a different conclusion. There's always a way. There's no point in ever being hopeless. Would you agree with that? I think you would.
There's always a way. Just
always
be able to find it.
Yes.
So, Jean, is there anything that you've got a burning desire to tell my audience before we end this interview that we haven't talked about already?
I think the thing I do want to tell people is that even though we're living in a time of great transformation, well, let's see the good in that, because what I'm noticing with this transformation that the world is in is that more people are kind, more people are giving, more people are just trying to be their authentic self. More people are helping. So let's focus on that. Let's be part of that, because the world is becoming a kinder, gentler place. It's going to take a little while, but we're moving. We're moving, and good things are happening.
That's absolutely true. So today we've talked to Jean Walters. Her book is called The Journey from Anxiety to Peace. And I'd just like to say that your mission is in helping people in what you do. And my mission is to spread a message that there is a cure for all addictive behaviors. Mine is a spiritual cure. Mm-hmm. And the treatment program is profiled in my book, Freedom from Addiction 3.
Good.
It's available on Amazon and wherever books are sold. And if you meet three simple criteria, everybody gets well.
Yeah.
I have two free resources where you can start your journey. And the first is to follow a link I'm going to give you in a second to my podcast.
Mm-hmm.
My podcast is free. There's probably over 100 different podcasts that you can mm-hmm. see which ones that you want to listen to and which ones intrigue you. Most recently, I've been doing a lot of stuff to tell you about things, about truth just below the surface with respect to the coronavirus problem.
Mm-hmm.
And if that interests you, then there's a lot of things there to look at. There's also spiritual things and kind of general things. So go over to that podcast, and it is www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. And you spell Libsyn, L-I-B as in boy, S-Y-N. No spaces between words and all lowercase. And that will take you to my most recent podcast. From that point, you can scroll down and go until you find something else that you'd like to listen to. The other thing is my website is www.revwinhendersonmd.com. That's revwinhendersonmd. And that's where I tell you and give you advice about addictive behaviors. And you got to remember that it's not just drugs, alcohol, and tobacco. We're talking about overeating. We're talking about gambling. We're talking about negative thinking. Just about any addictive behavior that you can think of, I'll share with you my advice on how to get rid of it on that website. So, once again, thank you, Jean, for being on the program today.
Thank you, Wynn.
And,
thank you so much.
I've enjoyed it very much.
Thank you. Me too. Thank you so much.